John chapter 9. Stephen, you go grab me a bottle of water. Thank you, sir. There are portions of Scripture that you read that are, I would say, maybe easier than others. As we've been studying through 1 Peter, there's so much. I think Peter tried to put in two books all that Paul tried to write in all the ones that he wrote. So since Peter only got two, he felt gypped. And he felt like he had to pack in all that stuff. And it's like, whew. Sometimes you read the book of Psalms, and it's like, whoa. Or like I've said before, the book of Proverbs. There's so many themes. There's so many principles to grasp. And then there are historical texts. Then there are prophetic texts. And isn't it nice every once in a while to get a Bible text that's like, whew, I can understand this. Like I can follow this. Where I don't want to say you don't have to study. But it's like, it's the woman at the well. It's laid out there, just right there. John chapter 9 is similar. Now I think it would be irresponsible of us to have this theme refocus without having, I want to say, a detailed message on the blind. John chapter 9 is the chapter. Now there are other examples where Jesus healed people. But this guy, if you remember correctly, was born blind. So there's a lot of principles here. And I'm down here so that we can talk, we can communicate. So I'm not going to preach to you. I'm not going to lay it out in all of these fancy words and outlines and alliteration. I'm not going to do that because, again, this is it's right there. It's fastball, level high, waist high, and you should hit a home run. So we're going to read through the whole thing, 41 chapters. Then we're going to go back. Did I say 41 chapters? I looked at Janet's face and I thought, what did I just say? And that's what she said to herself. What did he just say? Right. Janet's always kind when I say dumb things. But I can usually look on the face. Larry, whenever I say something dumb, Larry's like, I can always read Larry. John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by. Now, context. John chapter 8. Jesus is dealing with the Jews. And it is like this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's absolutely unbelievable, the script that is going on in John chapter 8. He calls himself the light of the world. He calls himself the truth. He calls himself the Son of Man. He calls himself the Word. He calls himself the truth. And they're going back and forth, and it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to start thinking in your mind, as Cindy would say during her piano lessons, I want you to be a Bible detective. She says to her students, oh, you're being a musical detective. So as you're looking at the scripture, how did Jesus know that he was blind from his birth? Who told him? Did he ask? Of course we know that Jesus knows everything. But that's the key to this chapter. Why am I giving you all the answers? Which is the key to the whole chapter. Because this is a picture, an illustration, a type of us. We were born how? Blind, spiritually. Okay, so we've got that laid out in verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. Now, if you've ever had a boy, this doesn't shock you, right? And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, why in the world would you put an irritant like clay, sand, grit, on somebody's eyes? Does any of that make sense? Okay, you're supposed to be asking me that question in a minute. And said unto him, Jesus said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is, by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And that's all. Now, in other passages of Scripture in John, remember the guy that was, he couldn't walk since his birth, and he was at the pool and waiting for the angels to stir the water. And when Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole, stand up and pick up thy bed and walk. I mean, this guy was, he was excited. When Peter and John went into the temple in Acts chapter 3, silver and gold have I none. This guy was jumping and howling and having a good old time. He just came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, aha, this is he. Others said, nah, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Now he's going to give them the King James Version first, the Authorized Version. He said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees, the person that was blind. Now that's, you should be in your mind thinking, why in the world did they bring him to the Pharisees? You want to know why? Because it was the Sabbath day. Look at the next question, the next sentence. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eye. So somebody's in trouble. Even though one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible has just happened. Verse 15. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Now he's going to use the RSV version. What does RSV stand for? I know that in this room. But what? The Revised Standard Version. Right? So he's going to give a revised version because notice what he says. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Is that the same explanation? There's so much missing here. He forgot. Not that he forgot the person's name, but he knew who he was talking to, right? So he's changing, not the story, or the details. Do you know anybody who omits things when you ask them straight questions? What? They talk around it, and the fine details are not given unless you nail them down, lock their arms and their legs to the soil, and say, I'll never let you get up until you answer my question. Verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because, why? He keepeth not the Sabbath day. Again, John did a Sunday school lesson on the Sabbath day. That was, I say this all the time, that was absolutely impeccable. It was absolutely marvelous. And here we have these guys that are willing to kill a man because in their eyes, this is the cardinal rule. The Sabbath day is the most important thing in their entire religious doctrinal treatise. It's the Sabbath or nothing. Others said, let's add some light here. How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Or we would say, two different visions, or two political parties, or polarized nation, whatever you want. Verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? Now we have the Living Translation. He is a prophet. Did he give him all the details again? No. He summarized everything and just put one sentence out there. He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. Pause. Every one of those male pronouns, who is that referring to? Who was blind? Jesus? No. The blind man was blind. So therefore, I color those in so I know this is the blind man. So in my story, in my Bible, he's tan. That's the color I use for the blind man. Why? Because he had to use clay. Clay, color, blind man. So as I'm reading through this, I'm going to color those personal pronouns so I'm not confused when I'm reading who's who in the story. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, the blind man, that he, the blind man, had been blind, obviously, and received, who received his sight? Not Jesus, the blind man. Until they, the Jews, had called the parents of him, the blind man, that had received his sight. And they, Pharisees, asked them, who are them? The parents, saying, is this your son who ye say? Whenever you see that in the Bible, you know this is red flags all over. You say was born blind. How then doth he now see? Now pause for a minute. That's a legitimate question. And you have to ask yourself, who in the world would this individual tell about his healing? His parents, wouldn't you think? I mean, he was blind his whole life. Now let's pause there just for a minute and say one thing that we should all know that isn't necessarily apparent here, but we know that blind people have one of the greatest sense of what? Since they can't see, they have to utilize their sense of hearing. Hearing. Yes, touch is important, but their sense of hearing saves them. I mean, in the sense that they have to see with their ears, right? Traffic, danger, all that kind of stuff. So this guy, we must remember, had hearing acuity that was like nobody's business. He could hear. Now, not only that, what about his memory? Since you can't reread something, how can you learn? How can you know? By listening, right? So you can't go back and reread. So you have to remember. Not only that, he's discerning people by what they say, not by what he sees. Right? Jesus, didn't God say to Samuel, look not on his countenance? So here was a guy blessed with no vision. According to Jesus, the parents didn't sin. He didn't sin. This is going to be God's work on this man's life. And the greatest attribute he has at this point is his hearing, his memory. So everything that he hears from his entire adult and childhood life is now culminating in this moment. Everything that he has heard his entire life has now exploded. Because now he can see. And now he can put faces to the names. Right? How many times did he hear those Pharisees talk and preach? Just think in your mind all of the things that he has heard his entire life. Hallmark has a movie. Cindy and I watch it. I love it. What the Deaf Man Heard. You should watch it. It's awesome. And it's a Hallmark, so it's family friendly. But this is the perfect illustration. A young boy was separated from his mom. He was so traumatized as he and his mom were traveling on a bus somewhere. And wherever he landed, in some train station, bus station, I can't remember. He was so traumatized that when adults actually started talking to him, he didn't respond because he probably didn't know what to say. So then they started asking him like, oh, are you deaf? Again, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to say. So from a child, he pretended to be deaf. But he wasn't. Are you with me with this? Okay, so he grows up into being a young man. And everybody assumes that he's deaf. But he's not. He hears everything. And he's in front of a judge. Extortion, embezzlement, all kind of stuff taking place. And he volunteers to be in a courtroom. And everybody thinks, this is the deaf man. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. Do you know what he said? I do. People fainted in the courtroom. The judge hit the gavel down and said, case closed. Because he knew everything. Because they talked around him like he was deaf. I mean, like you. So here's this guy. They're not understanding that he is like a sponge. And some people with disabilities get treated differently. They get marginalized, right? Not realizing that we're the ones that are deficient. They're actually getting better at certain things than we are. His parents, verse 20, answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Now, we know that's a lie. Because if you've read this passage of scripture, you know exactly why they said that. We don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. Line number two. So they throw this out there. He is of age, which means he's 40 or above. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. That's classy, right? That's how to, you know, abdicate your role as a parent. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue, or anybody that followed Christ, or anybody that was a believer in Christ. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Now, you don't even have to interpret that. All you have to do is read it. That's why this passage of scripture is so, I don't want to say refreshing, but I do want to say it's easier than some of the passages in Ezekiel or Daniel or Zechariah. Then again, called they the man that was blind and said unto him, here they go again, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Trying to put words in the man's mouth. Now remember, they've probably canceled this guy his whole life. The townspeople probably did the same. The only way he could survive was begging or whatever. He says unto them, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Sounds like Amazing Grace, doesn't it? Now, if there was ever a passage of scripture that every Bible-believing Christian should have as part of their testimony, that's it. One thing I know, I might not know the Bible, and I might not be able to witness to you. I might not know the scriptures, but this one thing I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, my whole life I couldn't see, but guess what? I can see you now. Now that must have been powerful. Because remember again, he knows them, not by facial recognition software, but he knows them by their voice. He knows their names because he's heard their names for years and years and years. He knows who the scoundrels are. He knows who the pretenders are. He knows all of that stuff about them, and they haven't been paying attention to him ever. Why? He's handicapped, right? Verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? I don't know how many times they're asking the same question, right? They're asking the same question. Are they listening? No. Are they paying attention? No. But if you're blind, you better pay attention to every detail because your life depends on it, because you can't see danger coming. But you have to pay attention with your ears. He answered them, I love this. I have told you already, and ye did not what? Wherefore, would ye hear it again? Will you also be by chance his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. But we, Moses' disciples, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is. And yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now, since he's an undercover agent, right? Because he's a handicapped person, he's marginalized, nobody pays any attention to him. Don't you think he hears all the rumors taking place in the synagogue and in Jerusalem and all the stuff going around? If you see Christ, let us know because we're going to kill him. So he throws it in their face and says, you don't know where this guy has come from? I mean, this is the arch enemy of the nation, or at least the religious leaders. You don't know from whence he is? Verse 31. Now we know. We know. Who does he think he is? That God heareth not sinners. Now he's preaching to them. He's heard theology and preaching his whole life. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him, God, heareth. Wow. Now that's enough, right? He didn't have to say any more, but he did. Since the world began, I don't know how he knows this, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Now that's your gospel right there. Can any man save another person? No, we can't open the eyes, spiritually speaking, of a lost person. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If, verse 33, this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They probably weren't very teachable, were they? No. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he, Jesus, had found him, the blind man, he, Jesus, said unto him, the blind man, dost thou believe on the Son of God? The blind man answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Give me an example of that phrase being fulfilled in the New Testament. Give me one person that said something similar as a lost person. Cindy.
He said, what must I do to be saved?
Perfect example. What must I do to be saved? Who said that? Are you sure? What must I do to be saved? Come on, you Bible brainiacs. Who said that? I bet you do. Go ahead. What did she say? When Christ shall come, he shall tell us on what mountain we shall worship. And he said unto her, he that speaketh unto thee am he. Dan, what did he say? He did say that. Somebody else. What did he say? And go sell everything and come follow me. Yeah. Somebody else?
Did Jesus know the man's name?
Whose man? Who in whose name? He knows everybody's name.
The blind man?
Sure he did. No. We don't know. It's never mentioned. No, it's not mentioned. Nope. But Barnabas is about 5 or 10 years from this passage. Okay, so Barnabas would be in the beginning of the book of Acts. This is still during the middle to late ministry of the Lord. So this isn't Barnabas. How about the Ethiopian eunuch? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Essentially, he said the same thing to Philip, right? When he came to the chariot. Again, a great passage of scripture that really encapsulates the gospel. So Jesus asks him a question. And he asks Jesus a question, verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him. Now he can see him, right? And it is he that talketh with thee. So now you can connect the voice with the face. And he said, the blind man said, what? Lord, I believe. And what is the sign? What is the manifestation of that belief? He worshiped him. So if there's no worship, then there's probably no relationship. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they would see, not might see. And that they would see, might be made blind." Again, Jesus is playing tricks with wording. He's making a metaphor. He's making an analogy that if you can see physically, you might not be able to see spiritually. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, like this man, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth." Let's go back to the beginning. Jesus saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Why is that question important? Dan?
It was their assumption in that time that if you were, quote unquote, cursed of God, you would sin.
Give me an example of that. That's basically an entire book of the Old Testament. Thank you. So Job's friends thought that he was going through this affliction, this persecution, these trials by God as evidence of Job's what? Sinfulness. Which wasn't obvious, which wasn't apparent because he was so successful. He was prominent. He was prosperous. He was a leader. All of those things that God said about Job, his friends thought were just window dressing. Deep down inside, they said, "Oh, you're a sinner." "Oh, really?" "Well, yeah, because look at what happened to you." Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents." Kind of like God talking to Satan and saying, "I'm going to use Job as an example of my grace." Same thing here. God is going to use this man who for 40 plus years could not see. But that the works of God should be made manifest, where? It says, in him. That's different than on him. So tell me the difference. What's the difference between a physical miracle versus a spiritual one? Dan? I'm letting that sit for a minute. Getting your sight is a physical miracle. When you die, what's going to happen? You're going to be blind anyway. It doesn't matter. But if it's a spiritual miracle, that's going to last for all eternity, right? And it's going to have a domino effect. It's going to have a ripple effect. So every single person that's going to meet you after that spiritual miracle will be impacted by your life. Lazarus was dead for how many days? 4. What was the greatest miracle that Jesus did on his life? Raised him from the dead. What eventually happened to Lazarus? He died anyway. He died again. So that was a physical miracle. Yet we know, according to the gospel, Jesus loved Lazarus. So we assume that he was a follower of Christ, that he had eternal life. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Okay, help me with that verse. What does that mean for us today? Isn't there a hymn that goes right along there? Charlene, help me. Work till the night. Work for the night is coming. Is that in our hymn book? John? Dave? What number? So we've sung that. Maybe you're familiar with that. Work for the night is coming. And that's really where that came from. And that's really what Jesus is saying to us. Right? The night is coming. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, when he leaves, John chapter 17, he's going to keep us here so we can carry on his ministry. He personally is the light of the world. Then therefore, we are the light of the world when he leaves. Gives us the Holy Spirit so that he can work through us. Then we have the method. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Again, to me, that sounds counterintuitive. Why would you put an obvious irritant? How many of you have ever gotten something in your eye? A speck, an eyebrow, makeup, dust, whatever it is. It's irritating, isn't it? So he's going to put clay on the guy's eyes and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So he did exactly what Jesus said. He went to the place he was supposed to go. Remember, he can't see. And we don't know how long that trip was, how long it took. We don't know. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he? And what did he do? He sat and begged. That doesn't mean the guy was incapable. Doesn't mean that he wasn't intelligent, brilliant, talented, gifted. Who knows? But because he was handicapped, he sat and begged. Some said, this is he. Others said, no, he's like him. But he said, I am he. What's the significance of that? Stephen, tell me the significance of that. Pause. Why do you think I asked you that question? Who in this church sits and doesn't say much? Stephen. That doesn't mean he's not thinking. That doesn't mean he's not paying attention. That doesn't mean he doesn't have an answer. He does. He's thinking all the time. But he spoke up for himself, didn't he? So we don't know what the peer pressure was like. We don't know what any of that was like. But remember, if the miracle worker does a miracle on the Sabbath, this guy knows because he's heard all the rumors. He knows that the Jews are after him because Jesus does not sanctify the Sabbath like they do. He's willing to do miracles on the Sabbath to prove grace is bigger than the law. So he's going to speak up, and he did. I am he, which basically means he is now the recipient of a miracle on what day of the week? Sabbath. Which means he's going to be kicked out of the synagogue, right? Yes. He could have said, like his parents, I don't know. Maybe it's somebody else. No. He had lived his whole 40 years, he can't see. What's he going to do? Deny the fact that now he can see? Therefore, said they unto him, how are thine eyes opened? Now, who should he say? Should he tell him? To God be the glory. Yeah. A man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed. And guess what? Shazam! I can now see. Then said they unto him, where is he? Do you think there might have been you think there was a bounty on Jesus? Right? So that these neighbors that might have not been so concerned, but now they can see a quick buck. If they can identify to the Jews where the miracle worker is, who's working miracles on the Sabbath, which according to them is capital punishment stuff. Where is he? So we can tattle on him. I don't know. So instead, even better, they're going to bring the blind man to the Pharisees, which they did. And of course, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him the same question. Now, as we said before, he does not give them the same answer. How he received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day, which means he's totally unqualified. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Which means there's got to be a little bit of wisdom here, right? The CDC, there's got to be some wisdom here. And there was a division among them, for sure. So there were some that were dead set on killing Jesus, and there were others that started using their reason and said, wait a minute, how can a sinner do things like this? They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? Trying to entrap him. What are you going to say about him? That he'd open thine eyes. What do I say? What do I say? I know what I'll say. He's a prophet. Were any of those Jews were any of those Pharisees considered a prophet? No. Was John the Baptist considered a prophet? Okay. So therefore, there's no other prophet in the entire nation of Israel during that contemporary moment. John had probably already been killed. So he says, I think he's a prophet. Oh, did that make them mad? Oh, did that make them mad? We're the scholars. Who do you think you are? Just think of the words that they want to use against this handicapped man who all he did was sat and begged. Why did he sit and beg? Because there were no jobs for a handicapped person. And then we have the whole thing about his parents. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, the blind man, that he had been blind and received his sight. So now it's all about this man's testimony. We're not going to play our hand as religious leaders because we don't know if this guy's a setup, if he's a plant, if this is just theater. Until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son whom ye say was born blind? We don't have any proof. How then doth he now see? Tell us that. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, absolutely. And we know absolutely that he was born blind. So for 40 years we've raised him. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Do you think the man born blind heard that? If he did, rejected again, right? Rejected by his parents. You mean to tell me you're not going to stand up for me? Now, I know I haven't been the easiest kid to raise. I get it. But according to him, the greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracles recorded in the entire Bible, in the entire history of the world, who has been born blind and now can see. Nobody can testify of that. And now I get a chance to, and you're not going to say anything. You're going to throw me under the bus? We know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. Oh, really? You're the first people I went to tell. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Have you ever been disappointed like that? Have you ever been thrown under the bus like that? Betrayed like that? Sure. Now, you say to me, Pastor, somebody lied about me. Yep. I've got problems with my family. Yep. I got problems here. I got problems there. What should I do? I will often say, find a principle or a person in the scriptures that is going through something similar that you have and try to utilize that principle in your life. Here's a perfect example of using a principle of rejection, a principle of betrayal by your own parents. Why did they do that? They were afraid. For any number of reasons. Culture, community, job, occupation, reputation, all those things are on the table. Because the Jews clearly said, if there's anybody that aligns with Christ, we're throwing you out of the synagogue and we will cancel you. Not only that, we'll send your address across the internet and we'll send activists to your home. We'll send activists to your home. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now that's kind of like, let's gather again together. They're going to throw out this caveat. Okay, give God the praise. Pause. We know that he's a sinner. Okay, so do you respond to that or not? Do you stand up for Jesus? Or are you going to let part B? Part A is good. Let's stand up and worship together. But we know that this man is a sinner. No, 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 time out. Wait a minute. No, we're not going any further until we clarify this. Which he did. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, because he's heard his whole life that only God can judge a heart. I know not. One thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. No theology necessary. I am living proof of the manifestation of God's grace. Because no one in the history of the world has this happened to but me. Remember at the beginning of the story how the disciples said, Lord, who hath? He heard that, right? He heard. His entire life, he's been accused of sinning because he has a disability. And now he's cured of the disability, and they're accusing Jesus of being a sinner. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but this one thing I know. Without a doubt, I was blind, but now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already. And you didn't hear, you didn't pay attention. Wherefore would you hear it again? Now, if that's all he said, that'd be enough to irritate them. But then he said, will ye also be his disciples? Should we rip off your head? Are you crazy? They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We're Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, and here's a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Not in the history of the world has there ever been somebody with that kind of power, that kind of miraculous influence, that can heal a man like that. Now we know, he includes them, we know as a nation of Israel that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him, whoever's a worshiper of God, God will hear him. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nada, nothing. Oh, that was like the best message. He nailed them, floored them. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. And dost thou teach us? Yes, I was born in sin, and so were you. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He's heard about the Son of God his whole life. He answered and said, who is he? Isn't that kind of like the question that Pilate asked? Who art thou? Who is he? Then he used the word Lord, that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is me, it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Lord, I trust and pray, we believe. And if we do, our proper place is before you. In adoration and praise and worship because of what you've done for us. Lord, we were born in trespasses and sins. We were blind our entire lives until we met the Savior. Lord, you've healed us spiritually. You've given us spiritual vision and spiritual understanding. You've given us an inspired and preserved word. Help us to take that word to the lost. Lord, maybe we feel sometimes that we're handicapped. Maybe we compare ourselves among ourselves and we're not wise. Or maybe we get too high upon ourselves. Maybe we're a little self-righteous like these Pharisees, thinking that they weren't born in sin and that they can understand all things, and yet they're acting and behaving and talking like they're as spiritually blind as anybody in the Bible. Lord, you healed this man. You cured this man. You made him whole. And when he confronted you again, he saw you. He not only heard you, but he saw you. And he said, Lord, I believe. His faith hath made him whole. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. So Lord, let our faith be your faith. Let our salvation be your salvation. Let our joy be your joy. Let our love be your love. That, Lord, we might minister to those that are without Christ, that are still blind in their sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, if you don't have a bulletin, grab one on the way out, because there's events on the calendar that are coming up that you need to know. Whether it's VBS, whether it's the ladies ministry, whether a guest missionary coming in, all those kind of things. All right? Thank you for those that came to our VBS meeting this morning. We're excited and things will be moving ahead. Amen? Teresa was introduced to the kitchen officially today. How was your experience in the kitchen? It was good?
Yeah,
awesome. Good. Please be aware, it wasn't always that way. Yes. You were going to say?
I working in the kitchen for Sunday morning, so I'll have that up there. So.
All those addicted to food should stay away?
They'll be
all right? All right. They'll be watched. They'll be monitored. And we're going to check the video camera after every service. All right.